Praise God. Okay, who prayed? Who prayed? You did. You prayed. Did you pray long prayers? No. What happened? The kingdom of heaven was released. The Holy Spirit moved because you believed what you were saying. Jesus had already done it. Jesus had already taken that pain. And you're commanding. He sees that and he releases. Amen.
Amen.
This is the gospel. It's good news. It's not hard. It's not hard. Hey. You understand? You can do this out there. When you see people, you see them in pain.
Walking on.
You can go up to them and say, excuse me, I have something that will help you. Can I pray for you? They say, go ahead. I release life. Command that pain to come out of you right now. What if that person's not saved? They get to see a miracle. Most miracles happen out there on the streets. Do you know that God, the Word of God, does not promise a miracle? Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe. My hands, they lay hands on the sick. And the sick recover. What does that mean? That's healing. Healing can be 5 minutes, it could be tomorrow, it could be the next day. If you're praying for someone that's lost, they need a miracle. Lost people do not understand healing. So you're going to see the most miracles when you're praying for lost people out there. Because it's a sign. It's a sign to them that this is Jesus. And when the miracle happens, they're going to say, wow, how did that happen? No, you can tell them. It wasn't me. That was Jesus. And would you like to have Jesus in your life? He's the healer. And you can have the healer living in you. Oh, people are very quick then to say, oh, yes, yes. That'll be good. And you get them saved. So that's where you're going to see the most miracles is out there. But if you don't pray, you don't see anything. We have thought that we don't know enough. We don't know enough scripture. We thought, well, there's sin in my life. How can I pray for somebody if there's sin in my life? Right now, in this room, every one of you have got sin in your life. Do you believe that? There is no sin in your spirit. Your spirit is holy. Your spirit is pure. Your spirit is filled with the Spirit of God. But in your soul, in your body, you've got sin. It says in Romans, whatever we do that's not in faith is sin. How many things do we do not in faith? How many things do we do? You get up in the morning, you go off, you do your work. Do you stop and think? I can't do this job today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for filling me. I trust in you. I trust in you for power. My faith is in you to give me what I need. Do you do that all the time? I don't. So every one of us has got some sin in our life. Sin does not stop God from moving. That's a lie of the devil. What stops God from moving is you thinking there's something you need to do. There's nothing you need to do except believe. Well, maybe if I fast for a week, maybe I'll get healed.
No.
No. There's nothing. Nothing. We just believe. When you read the Gospels, what does it say? Jesus healed everyone who came to him. Every single person in the Gospels, except for the last two chapters, they're all sinners. There's no saved people. Jesus is the only one. He healed all sinners. Did someone go up to Jesus and say, Jesus, could you please heal me? And then he says, I'm sorry. You have sin in your life. I can't heal you. Go get your life cleaned up. And then come back. Is that in the Bible? Never. Everyone that came to him, no matter how bad they were, they asked him for healing. They asked him for freedom. They asked him for deliverance. He just did it. That's the way he is today. We just believe. So there's no condition. The devil comes and puts thoughts in your head. Oh, God's not going to heal you. You're a sinner. Oh, God's not going to heal this person you're praying for. He's a bad man. He does nasty stuff. God's not going to heal him. That's a lie. The devil is trying to get you to believe a lie. Jesus already healed everyone 2,000 years ago. He took all the sinners for all of time and all their sickness. He released healing for all of them. You know where it is? It's right here. Waiting for someone to believe. Just waiting for someone to believe. So we who believe, we speak. Faith speaks. Faith says, it's not like that in heaven. Jesus told the disciples, they wanted to know how to pray. He said, pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth, just as it is in heaven. That's how we pray. Just as it is in heaven. Whatever is going on in front of you, you think about what's it like in heaven. Are there sick people in heaven? Are there sick people in heaven? No. He said, then you pray the way it is in heaven. If you see sickness, you command it to go. Because it's not that way in heaven. You see, are there demonized people in heaven? Oh, sorry. Are there demonized people in heaven? No! So you pray just as it is in heaven. The Spirit of God sees your faith. Knowing that Jesus already took care of this 2,000 years ago. And when you speak, the demons hear Jesus speaking. Do you know that? Your faith can be seen in the spirit realm. Angels are looking. Demons are looking. They're watching you. If you're in faith, they see it. They see faith, 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 faith. And the demons go, oh, we're going to have to leave. This one is believing. Oh, but if you're doubting, or you're afraid, or you're worried in the spirit realm, fear, 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 fear. The demons can see that. And they say, oh, we don't have to leave this one. Oh, we don't have to go anywhere. Because there's no faith here. There's fear here. So they don't move. We've been given the grace of God to place faith in. It's not in our works. I've seen some of the greatest miracles in my life when I was having the lowest spiritual days of my life. I felt like I couldn't heal a fly. I was having a very rough day. I see some of the greatest miracles happen. It's not about us. It's about Jesus and what He has already done for us. I was in Liberia, and we had a huge crusade. There was 35,000 people in the crusade. The entire village came. And they had all the people set up in the crowd based upon what was wrong with them. All the deaf people, all the paralyzed people, all the blind people. We went down to the field and we started praying. And I went to the section where there were all paralyzed people. They brought them in wheelbarrows. And their bodies were just hanging over the wheelbarrows. Their arms hanging, their legs hanging, no movement in their body, totally paralyzed. One after another, all lined up in wheelbarrows. And I went down there. And I prayed for one, I prayed for two. I commanded that spirit of crippling paralyzation to get off of them. I released life into them. I saw nothing. Not even an eyeball moved. Nothing. They didn't even blink. Nothing. No sound. Nothing. Everyone I prayed for. What did I do? Did I say, I guess it's not God's will to heal them? No. God decided 2,000 years ago to heal every one of them. It is His will. It is His will to heal all the time. Do we always see it instant? No. But this is important. Remember this. If you're standing there in faith, and you're praying in faith, and you're releasing in faith, and you see absolutely nothing, or the person says there's no change, and you pray again and again, no change, then bless them. I bless you. Holy Spirit, I bless what you're doing in this person's body right now. In Jesus' name. And you go on. What do you do? Your faith is so real. In the spiritual realm, it's real. When you pray in faith over someone, that faith is sitting on top of them. If you don't doubt, and you stay in faith, that faith stays over them. If you say, well, I guess God doesn't want to heal them, faith removed. And now they're right back to where they were. But if you know it's God's will, it doesn't matter if you see anything or not. Your faith is released. Your faith is released over that person. There must have been 30, 40 people I saw prayed that way. I saw nothing. I went back to America. It was 30 days later. I started getting emails. Listen to what the email said. Remember the paralyzed people you prayed for? One after another. They're getting out of bed and standing and walking. 30 days later, that is healing. Not a miracle. That is healing. The time is up to God. Our part is, we're praying in faith. We're releasing in faith. And we leave that faith with them, resting on them. That faith will continue to work. The Spirit will continue to work until the release comes, until the manifestation happens. What's the bell for?
Dismissing kids to go.
Oh, okay. Thought it was time. When I was in church Sunday, they kept ringing this bell. And I would say, why are they ringing the bell? They said, there's 15 minutes left. Why? What's the bell? 10 minutes left. 10
minutes.
They're ringing the bell. There's 5 minutes left.
Time up.
I've never said that. They don't do that in America.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's amazing. Amazing. So understand, you're not always going to see something. But understand, every time you put your hand on someone, there's a release. And you leave your faith sitting on them. Your faith hovers over that person. They walk away in an atmosphere of faith that you left there. Because you're believing. Jesus has already done this. And you just released. The process is up to God, not us. How many times people have been prayed for and you don't see anything? And immediately we think,
oh,
God did not want to heal them. That is a lie. God decided 2,000 years ago to heal that person. Don't you believe those lies? If you believe that, all healing stops. That's it. It's done. And we need to leave those people with something that's going to help them. Amen?
Amen.
You get that?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Look at this. Ephesians chapter 1.
Ephesians chapter 1.
Yee-haw. Did you record that? Okay. Ephesians chapter 1.
Uh-huh.
Okay, verse 3.
Verse 3.
Go ahead and read verse 3.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ngavonge mwari na baba vashe wedu Jesu Kristu. Wakati ropafadza nekuropafadza kose kumweya kudenga muna Kristu.
He's saying, that you have been already blessed with every spiritual blessing that you could ever get. In Christ Jesus, you have already been blessed with every spiritual blessing. You know what that word blessing means? It means God has already said about you every good thing He could ever say about you, and He spoke it and released it into the spiritual realm. God has already spoken over your life and released blessings about you in the spirit realm in Christ. He's already done that for you. He cannot think bad about you. God sees you according to the spirit person He made you to be. God does not see you as a sinner. Have you heard people say this? I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Have you heard that? Oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, no, no. You are not a sinner anymore. You no longer have a sin nature. You have the nature of God. You are blessed of God. You're a saint, God says. You're a saint. You're not a sinner. Do we know what we're doing when we call ourselves a sinner? Do you know that our words are prophetic? I was in worship one day back in America, and the presence of God came on me. I went down on the floor on my face, and He gave me a vision. This is the vision He gave me. He said, "Son, I want to show you what happens when you speak." I said, "Okay." He said, "When you say things that agree with what I say about you, a scroll comes out. When you speak, a scroll comes out, opens up, and your words are written on the scroll. And if they are words of truth, words of scripture, words the way I see you, words according to the finished work of Jesus, then angels come. Angels take the scroll, and they say, "Thank you. I will perform this word in your life." But if out of your mouth come words that are not true, words of doubt, words of fear, words of discouragement, words of worry, words that you can't do this and you can't do that, words of trying to get God to come, the scroll comes out, opens up, and demons come, and they take your scroll and they say, "Thank you very much. We will perform this negative word in your love, in your life, because it came out of your mouth." We are spiritual beings, and we speak prophetically into the spirit realm, and we actually release permission for angels or demons to work our words in our life. So it's important that we know, what does God say about us? He says you are blessed. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing. We are not old covenant believers anymore. We are new covenant believers. Jesus paid for us to be blessed. In the old covenant, it's, if you will do this, then God will bless you. Now, under the new covenant, it's all of the promises of God. Let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20.
Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20.
What does it say? For all the promises of God. For all the promises of God, for you who are born again, all the promises of God, what's that? From the beginning of the book? All the way through. Every promise that is in here. Many are conditional. It says, if you do this, then God will do this. But it changes in the new covenant. He says, all the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. You find a promise in here? What does God say? He says, to that promise, I say yes for you. I say amen for you. Whatever promise you find in here, you present it to God. Because now that you're in Christ Jesus, He says, that promise for you is yes. God's answer is yes, that's for you. God's answer is amen for you. Let's say amen for you. Is that amazing? In Isaiah chapter 55.
Isaiah 55.
I'm going to show you a promise. I'm going to show you how I got here. How did I get to Zimbabwe? It was 35 years ago. Look at this. I'm going through the scriptures looking for promises because I found out that all the promises for me are now yes. Isaiah 55:5 says this, surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God. You see that promise? 35 years ago I read that. I said, Holy Spirit, that promise is yes and amen for me. There are nations. I'm going to be in nations all over the world. Before I ever went anywhere. Because He gave a promise. And all the promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. What happened? I believe. That promise is for me. That promise is for you. If you believe, you want to go to other nations? You want to have nations calling you up saying, come? Do you want that? Would you like that? Is that in your heart? And say, I receive that promise. Because it's yes and amen for me. I want to show you something. You see this? This is you. This is your spirit. This is your spirit. Okay? When you got born again, you got a new spirit. Totally holy. No spots, no spots. Totally holy. When you were born again, what happened? That moment, the Holy Spirit, if this Bible is Jesus, the Holy Spirit took you and put you in Christ. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. All the promises of God are yes and amen
in Christ. Where are you? The real you, the real you. It's a spirit, you're the spirit person. That's the real you. Where are you?
You're in Christ.
If I take this Bible back to America, where does the paper go? It goes to America. Wherever this goes, the paper goes. When you were put into Christ, then everything he experienced became your experience. When he went down into hell, when he died, he went down into hell. And he said to the devil, devil, give me the keys. The keys to death, hell, and the grave. Give it back. You've had authority because of Adam's sin. Now, you no longer have authority. Give it back. And Satan had to give the keys back to Jesus. You were in Christ when that happened. That experience is yours. He came back. He told the disciples, here's the keys. Here's my name. Here's my authority. Now you go. Now you go. Now you go. You're not going to go in your own strength. It's impossible in your own strength. He said, but I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you until the end of the age. I will see you all the way through. You never go and pray for people by yourself. I am with you, and I will come upon you. You're in me. You are in him. You are in him. As the Father looks at Jesus, does he see Jesus holy? Does the Father see Jesus holy? Yes? Yes. How does the Father see you? Holy. Does the Father see Jesus anointed? How does the Father see you? Where are you? Where are you? How does the Father see you? 1 John 5:17 says, as he is, so are you in this world. How is Jesus right now? Is he victorious? Has Jesus overcome? Has he overcome the devil? Yes. Has Jesus overcome the devil? Yes. How about you? Where are you? Where are you? You are in Christ. You are in Christ. Holy Spirit put you, your real spirit person, in Christ. As long as we are trusting in him. It says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 23.
That you died, the old you died. And now, you are hidden with God in Christ. How's the devil going to find you if you're trusting in Jesus? He cannot. Here's what happens. We think that there's things that we need to do. We think we need to pray long hours to get God to do something. What happens is, We come out, we stick our head out. We're in Christ. But as long as we are not trusting in Him, we stick our head out. And then the devil can see us. He does things to us. As soon as we stay, Holy Spirit, I place my faith and trust in you to live through me. And devils, where'd she go? Where'd she go? You see, the Christian life, walking in the Spirit, is very simple. It's just placing your trust in Him in everything you do. I get up in the morning. I roll out of bed onto the floor. And I say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for filling me today. Thank you for speaking through me today. Thank you for causing me to see the things I need to see. Thank you for loving through me today. I'm so grateful for you, Holy Spirit. I'm so grateful that you're in me and you will come upon me. Thank you so much. What am I doing? I'm walking in the Spirit. That's how simple it is. Religion thinks that we walk in the Spirit by getting the sin out of our life. So we're focused on the things that are wrong. And we're trying to fix the things that are wrong. It says in John 14 that the Holy Spirit comes to bring glory to Jesus. If Jesus took away all sin, and it says in Hebrews chapter 10 that He does not even see the sin anymore because He removed it, what do you think happens when we're focused on the things that are wrong? When you look at someone and you say, oh, you got sin in your life. Oh, you're not being very nice. Oh, I don't like your attitude. Oh, you do so many things that are wrong. What are we doing? We're focusing on what Jesus already put away. And the Holy Spirit will only bring glory to the finished work of Jesus. And relationships start going down. Marriages start falling apart. Because we're focused on the things that are wrong. And Holy Spirit sees us in Jesus Christ. He doesn't see us according to our problems anymore. He sees us as holy. He sees us as anointed. He sees us as filled with love. Because your spirit is full of the love of Christ. That's how He sees you. And when we begin to see other people that way, Spirit of God releases. When we begin to speak to other people about the good things we see in their life, the Spirit of God releases. I have many people come to me for counseling. And what I do is I send them to the counselor, the Holy Spirit. I tell them about what honors Holy Spirit and what grieves Him. And when we find fault in other people, faults that Jesus paid a price for and put away,
and
the Holy Spirit is not going to manifest. And there is no marriage, there is no relationship that can be sustained in our own strength. We need the power of God. So, what do we do? Holy Spirit, show me what you're doing in your son's life. I want to see what you're doing. Show me the good things that you're doing. I don't want to see anything. See, love covers sin. Love doesn't look at sin. Love doesn't look at the things that are wrong. Love lifts up. Love builds up. Love edifies. And when we begin to do that, the Spirit of God releases. And other people feel like, wow, I like being around you. I like being near you. Because the Holy Spirit's flowing off of you. Because you're looking for good in people. Are you with me, church? I'm giving you an answer that will save relationships. When I have people come to me for counseling, what do you think they say? I got a problem with him. I got a problem with her. I don't like what he does. I don't like what she does. And I say, stop! I'm not listening anymore. I'm going to pray and you're going to go home. And this is what you're going to do. Or I'm not going to, don't come back anymore. I want you to go home. And I want you to ask God to show you something good in your wife's life. Something beautiful in your wife's life. I want you to ask Holy Spirit to show you something in your husband's life that I've done that's good. And then you tell him. And then you tell her. Then you can come back. And we'll talk again. The next time they come back, they're crying. And they're saying, we don't want it. We want to stay together. We really love each other. Just by looking for things that are good in people releases the Holy Spirit. Just by looking to help people go higher, not knock them down lower, but to take them higher, releases the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, something that will save relationships. Now, I wasn't planning on telling you this. There's probably some of you needed to hear that. Maybe you're struggling in your marriage. You're struggling in a relationship. I'm giving you the answer. God is great. Holy Spirit is so powerful that you will begin to look for the good in other people. Don't let anything come out of your mouth that would be harmful, that grieves him. Amen.
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 Hallelujah. How are we doing?
Later. 5 minutes to go.
25 minutes?
5 minutes to go.
5 minutes? I didn't hear the bell. Did anybody hear the bell? Anybody hear the 5 minute bell? Okay. All right. So what can I tell you about? There's so many things we haven't talked about. What can I tell you about in 5 minutes? Tell me something, Pastor. What's one thing we could talk about that would help them?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do this. Look in Acts. Chapter
1.
Okay, Jesus is getting ready to go back up to heaven. He's going to give some last minute instructions to his disciples. There's many things that they did not know yet. They haven't even understood all that happened with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. They didn't have the books that Paul wrote. They didn't know. So look at what Jesus tells them. He says, but you shall receive Acts chapter 1 verse 8.
Yeah, you can go on.
But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, Holy Spirit was already in them now.
Okay.
They were now born again and the Spirit was in them. But he's telling them, Holy Spirit is going to do something even more. He said, you shall receive power. And that word power is dunamis. It means dynamite. You know what
dynamite?
Majobi?
Dobi.
Dobi. You shall receive Dobi. Dobi. Okay. If we have an enemy and we just got a gun, we got to try to aim it and shoot the enemy, then you may miss. Unless you're a very good shot and very experienced. And Jesus is saying, you have much to learn yet. But this Dobi, this dynamite, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And he will come on you with dynamite power. There's a problem. There's something the devil's doing. He's going to make it really easy for you. Take the dynamite, you light it. It's going to be very easy to take the enemy out. Because the dynamite's going to cover a big area. He says, so you won't have to worry about your prayers being perfect. You won't have to be concerned about praying exactly right. The Holy Ghost is going to come on you and release such power that all the demons around you. He's trying to get them excited. He says, this is going to happen when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me. Oh. Oh. What does it mean to be a witness to Jesus? Does it mean that we hand somebody a piece of paper that talks about Jesus? Is that what he's talking about? What does it mean to be a witness for Jesus? That word witness is really important. It's a legal word. It means, if you are on trial and you're in court, you have to bring witnesses to your defense to prove that what you're saying is true. That's that word witness. Now, no one is allowed in a courtroom to be a witness unless they bring evidence. They cannot just bring words. They cannot come in and sit down and say, oh yes, I know him. He's an honest man. No! Not allowed in the courtroom. They must bring in evidence. They must demonstrate with proof that what he's saying is true. Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit will demonstrate with power that you are witnessing for Jesus. The Holy Spirit will prove to the people listening to you that you are speaking about the real Jesus. How is he going to do that? He's going to demonstrate with power. He's going to demonstrate with healing. He's going to demonstrate with deliverance. He's going to demonstrate by setting somebody free. He's going to demonstrate with some act of great power that will convince the people watching and listening. This is Jesus. I just saw Jesus. He's saying, believers, he's saying, the Holy Spirit will come upon you if you will go and you will be a witness in the marketplace, on the street, wherever you go. If you will go and say, I will witness for you, Jesus. And you want to bring witness for someone you see? The Spirit of God will clothe you with power. And as you begin to pray, he's going to release some dynamite that will absolutely convince that person. You brought Jesus. You brought the real Jesus. And they will walk away knowing they met Jesus. And you're now telling them, Jesus will come and live in you. You can place your faith in him. And what you just saw happen through me, he'll do that through you. And you can bring people into the kingdom. This is God's way. Not just by talking. The gospel is not in word only, but in demonstration of power and the Holy Ghost. It's not because you're standing there going, because without power, that's what people are hearing. You're talking, but they're just hearing. Jesus is saying, I'm not leaving you just with words. I'm leaving you with the greatest power in the universe. I'm leaving you with dynamite power. I'm leaving you with the Spirit of God. And he will. Jesus said he will. He will come upon you. Only believe. Only believe. Okay. So you're here today. You're hearing this. And this sounds, wow. This is amazing. This is revelation. Every revelation that comes from God, it comes as an invitation to step into that revelation. You've all received an invitation to step into the truth. that if you will go to be a witness for Jesus, you won't go alone. Oh, you won't go alone. And you won't go with a little tiny gun. Oh, no. You won't go with just words. You will go with dynamite power of the Spirit of God. You may feel Him come on you. You may not. That's not important. But the person you're praying for, they're going to get it. It may not be instant. It may be when they get home. But they're going to get it. Because you're going to release dynamite power. This is the gospel. This is the good news. Are you hearing me? It's for you. It's for you. Only receive. Remember, faith is receiving what has already been given to you. Faith is not getting God to come. Faith is receiving what's already been given to you. You've been given the Spirit. He's ready to come upon you. He's waiting for you to step into a position where someone needs the witness of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Okay, good. Is that okay? Praise God. Praise God. All right. Let's do this. Okay. Let's, if you want me to pray over you for this to just crystal clear inside of you, just stand
up.
Okay. I want them to pray with me. Okay.
Okay. So just pray after you.
Yeah. Let's agree together. Father. Father. In the name of Jesus. I know you've made me to be your son or your daughter. You are living in me. You are alive in me. And you have tremendous power. You love people. And you want to love them through me. There are hurting people. And you want to reach them through me. I present myself to you. I yield to you. Holy Spirit, I trust you to lead me, to guide me, to empower me, to bring those into the kingdom, to set the captives free. In Jesus' name, amen.